Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, I apologize for rushing the prayer request and John and everything, but I didn't want Sophia to have to wait any longer. She was, you know, she overcame a fear, and I'm so proud of her, and I know your family is. It's just wonderful. She's just really shy too, isn't she? Yeah, she's shy. All right, guys. Good morning. Welcome to North Point. We're going to be finishing up this series, not today, but next Sunday, but we'll be talking about the same thing two Sundays in a row. This series we've been on all summer called You Make Me Crazy. And everybody's got crazy makers in your life, right? You got people that make you crazy? You're not married to them, though, are you? Well, not anymore. But anyway. Oh, I'm done. Let's pray. But we'll be finishing up next week, and we're going to be talking about that, and I'm excited. We're going to end it on this particular topic. School started back, right? We're happy about that, right? All right. Anyway, so we're going to finish up next week, and I've been getting a lot of feedback from you guys about this series that we're doing on unhealthy and healthy relationships. But I was going to say, if you hadn't heard them all, you can get copies of them. They're free. The CDs back there, you know, get some and take them with you. If they're not there, you can order them, and Laura will have you some next week. But guys, I want to tell you, you've been helping me out some with the material. I've been getting emails and the comments, even butt calls from time again. But I've been getting some material, Yannis. And as I talk to folks and listen to them, what I found out is one of the biggest, most common fears is the fear of disapproval, the fear of rejection. It messes up our relationships, don't it? It just messes them up, and it makes us miserable. Miserable. You know, what I found out is you and I, we let people walk all over us because we're afraid of being rejected. It affects what you say. It affects what you wear. It even affects the food that we eat. Y'all believe that? I was stationed in South Korea in 1981, and I remember walking into the mess hall there, and they had French fries that day, and there was a little Korean lady there, and she was eating some of the French fries, and she had them covered with mayonnaise and ketchup. See, I heard some of you guys do the same thing I did when I saw it. Whole guy with me said, "Sonny, don't knock it till you tried it." Well, I gave it a shot. I love it. I eat mayonnaise and ketchup on my French fries today. It's like eating a tomato sandwich on top of your French fries. And y'all know what I'm talking about? It is just wonderful. And so, but when I came back from Korea, one of the first places I went to was a fast food place, and I wanted some French fries. I used to just eat them by the plates full. That's how I keep, it's included on my workout schedule. You can see workout routine. You can see that's how I got my body. I remember one of the first things I did when I got the French fries, I put the ketchup on it. Then I said, "Can I get some mayonnaise?" And the waitress said, "What for?" I said, "I'm putting it on French fries." She goes, "Ooh." And from then on, it was kind of hard to eat it out in public. Well, I was rejected by the waitress. And I met with disapproval. And I really wanted to have that. And so, you know, and my kids grew up and they saw me doing it, and at home, I'd eat it at home a lot. And so Sarah, she loved it too. Luke loves it, you know. Everybody in my house but Angie eats it. And so Sarah one day ordered it, and she was eating mayonnaise and ketchup. And I said, it don't bother you? Nobody's looking at you going crazy? Shoot, I love it. And I thought, well, if a little girl can eat French fries with mayonnaise and ketchup on it, I can too. It's been on like Donkey Kong ever since. So I just love anybody else eat? I just want to know. Yeah, there's some brave, courageous people out there. All right. You sprinkle Lipitor on top? Yeah. I got a good comeback for that. At my age, I sprinkle something else, but I'll tell you what that is. And I shouldn't even have said that, but anyway. Y'all don't know what it is. But this feeling of being rejected or disapproved, we hate feeling that way, don't we? We really hate feeling that way, but what I found out in talking to you guys, you don't know how to change. You still worry about what people think about you. And we learn as children, you know, to do certain things that's going to bring a smile to our parents or other adults that are in our lives, you know. And those are small children. And then school comes. And acceptance and approval from friends becomes really, really important. It really does. And then even as an adult, we never grow out of this fear of being rejected, you know, and we live our life, you know, for the most part, based on the approval of others. And some of you guys are relating to some of this because you told me. You sent me email. So some of you guys are really, really feeling this, you know, and so you want so badly to be liked, to be loved and accepted and just to fit in. And we do all kind of dumb stuff just to fit in. Just to have the right boyfriend and girlfriend and we even go out with folks that we really don't want to go out with just because it'll make our friends happy. So we just do all kind of dumb stuff. And you know, one lady asked me, said, why am I so weak? You know, why can't I handle their disapproval? Someone even told me, said, Jim, I got opinions, but I'm afraid to express them at work. I'm afraid to share my faith, you know, because I'm a people pleaser. I want to please people. What they told me, they just shouted out, I'm controlled by other people. I'm controlled by others. You know, I want to ask you today, are you tired of saying yes to other people when you know deep down you should have said no? You know, are you tired of that? Can you relate to that question? Saying yes when you should have said no? You know, are you tired of caring too much about what other people think about you? Are you tired of being manipulated? Are you tired of being used? I want to tell you, in many ways, it's your fault. It's your fault. Because you've been used and manipulated and controlled. You know, because sometimes you wind up not being you. You wind up being a collection of other people and their expectations on you. And you're not even you. This is called approval addiction. Approval addiction will make us crazy. It's just simply the addiction to the approval of others. It is one of the most common destroyers of happiness. And if you don't deal with this issue, you will be miserable most of your life. You will be controlled by other people, and they're going to put you in this box that they've designed. And you end up living the life that dad wanted you to, or mom wanted you to, or your friends, or your spouse, or even your kids wanted you to, and you'll miss the purpose that God has for your life. You got to learn how not to be a people pleaser. We got to learn how to do that. So the next couple of weeks, you know, for the last in this series, we're going to be looking at what this is in your mind, this fearing the disapproval of others and fearing the rejection of other people, fearing of how much other people think about your life. Guys, you don't want crazy makers dominating your life, do you? You don't want crazy makers manipulating your life. You sure don't want a crazy maker controlling your life. Amen? Now, don't look at that person that's doing that. I'm going to tell you guys, a crazy maker will cause you to say yes when you should have said no, and to say no when you should have said yes. It's what they do. And you're going to miss all kinds of things in your life, all kinds of blessings. At the top of your message notes, some of you are saying, man, he just now got to the message notes. It's a dangerous trap to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you are safe. I want you to underline there, dangerous trap. Some translations say snare. I love the Message translation. We're going to talk about it later. It says disabling. But it's a trap. And so this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to talk about how to escape this people-pleasing trap. And today we're going to look at how it's a trap and what are the effects of it. But before we look at it, I do want to kind of clarify something, and I want to explain to you that the desire to please other people is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a legitimate need in your life. I mean, you and I, we need the approval of others in our life. We just don't need the approval of others to dominate our life. I mean, for example, we need the approval. We need to please our parents. We need to please our spouses. There's nothing wrong with wanting to please your parents or please your spouse. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be loved. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have friends. But the Bible tells us not to live for ourselves. If you only live for yourself, you're a narcissist. You know, plain and simple. But the person who has no interest in no one but themselves, it's like a sociopath. And they blow up buildings and stuff. You know, when they only think of themselves. But if you just have, if you have no need for the approval of others, then you could be a narcissist. To have no need. That you're so self-centered, that you're so selfish, you have no need for the approval of others. So there's nothing wrong with wanting approval of other people. You know, but like all things that are legitimate, all these needs and things can be abused and misused. You know, it's just, we got to learn to handle it correctly. So let's begin with looking at five reasons why trying to please everyone is a trap. Like I said, I wanted you to underline that word, trap. The very first reason why trying to please everyone is a trap is this. Number one, it causes me to miss God's purpose for my life. What I'm saying there is you can't be worried about what everybody else wants you to do and be focused on what God calls you to do at the same time. You just can't do it. if you're always worried about others' expectations, if you're always worried about others' purposes for your life, you'll miss what God's purpose is. And guys, if you don't discover what your purpose is for life, somebody else will discover it for you. But we can't do this at the same time. You know, a couple of the reasons that we miss God's purpose for our life is this: trying to please people, trying to please others. And the other one was envy. We don't want to miss what God has in store for us, his purpose for our life. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, our purpose is to please God, not people. That's our purpose. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. So guys, we got to deal with this issue of people pleasing, or we're going to miss God's purpose for our lives. Number two, it keeps me from growing in my faith. People pleasing keeps me from growing in my faith. Because when we try to please everyone, it stunts our ability to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. This was my Facebook status this morning. When God is big in our lives, people have less power in our lives. Their influence in our lives are diminished when God is big in our life. But on the flip side, when we allow people to be big in our life, God diminishes in our lives. So we got to be careful. Because when we allow people to be bigger in our lives than God, we give the people what really belongs to God. It really belongs to God. We give them authority. We give them influence on our lives. God and people can't be equal influences over our lives. We have to choose. We have to choose who's going to have the major influence in our lives, whose approval that we will seek more, God or people. So I want you to write down a couple of questions. It's just number one, whose opinion matters to me more, my friends or God? Whose opinion matters to me more, my friends or God? Then the second one is, whose opinion will I trust, people or God? John 5:44 says, you try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get the praise that comes from the only God. So how can you believe? That verse is pretty clear about how people pleasing hinders our growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Like I said a while ago, I love the way the Message translation puts that first verse, Proverbs 29, says the fear of human opinion disables. It's a disability to us to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Number three, it leads me to sin. It leads me to sin. You can kind of put a hash mark there, and also leads me to giving in to peer pressure. Giving in to peer pressure. When I try to please everybody, it inevitably leads me to giving in to peer pressure. I love teenagers most of the time. But I talk to them. I'm the chaplain of the football team, and I do the announcing. I'm ready to go Thursday night, boys. Y'all got the best announcer in this region. But what I found out in talking to teenagers is their biggest struggle is peer pressure. Peer pressure. But guess what? It's for us old folks too. Peer pressure gets us too. It just looks a little different. It just looks a little different for us, this desire to be pleased, to please other people. We do things to please other people that we know we shouldn't do. We just know we shouldn't do it. And then we tell our kids, They see us doing this dumb stuff, and then we tell our kids when they do something dumb, if he were to tell you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? I'm sitting there thinking, there must have been some sort of parenting 101 class that said you got to mention that at least a few times in your lifetime. We tell our kids not to follow somebody off a cliff, and then we spend money we don't have to impress people we don't like. We tell our kids to don't jump off a cliff, and we act a fool at parties. We have a strong nature or desire to do what others are doing. This is nothing new. This goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. Look what God told him in the book of Exodus 23:2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. You know, all through Scripture we see people, you know, who love the Lord, but in their own way were kind of jumping off a cliff. You know, following somebody, and because their friends told them to. Remember Peter, the founder of the Catholic Church, I guess you'd say. He denied Jesus. He said, I don't know it. I don't know it. Because the crowd was against him. So he went along with the crowd. You remember Pilate? Pilate was the governor who judged Jesus. He said, I find no wrong in this man. I find no wrong in this man. But the crowd hollered, crucify him, crucify him. And the crowd wouldn't let up. They were what's the word, insistent. And they wouldn't let up. And he said, okay, I'll wash my hands. Y'all go ahead and crucify him. So he went along with the crowd. Joseph in the Old Testament had 11 brothers who conspired against him to kill him. They were all just ready to go. They were all jealous of him. And then one kid stood up. His name was Reuben. And said, this is wrong. But then even the crowd got to him, his brothers. They didn't kill him, but he just talked them into selling him. Then I love what King Saul admitted to Samuel in 15:24. He says this, I've sinned. I've trampled roughshod over God's word and your instructions. I cared more about pleasing people, so I let them tell me what to do. In what areas of your life are you caving in to the expectations of other people? Where are you caving in? What are you doing that you know is wrong just to fit in? What are you doing that you know is wrong just to be accepted? Just to be accepted. That you don't want to be rejected. Number four, it causes hypocrisy in our lives. People pleasing causes hypocrisy. Now, when hypocrisy invades our lives, we start to wear masks. You know, we become chameleons and we just adapt to the environment. We become chameleons and we just are whoever we're with. We're different compared to when we think about the crowd we are. And it's so frustrating to try to figure out which mask to wear. I got to tell you, guys, being a chameleon is exhausting. To be different according to the crowd you're with. And God doesn't want us to spend our energy on this. He doesn't want us to wear masks. He doesn't want us to fake it. He doesn't want us to pretend. Because when we pretend, we don't reveal our true self. But really, we love to make ourselves look better than we actually are. Luke 16:15 says, Jesus said, you make yourselves look good in other people's eyes, but God knows your heart. God wants us to be the same regardless of who we're around. He wants us to be the same. He doesn't want us to wear masks. And but this fear of disapproval can cause us to compromise things that we know are important and that we know are right. And instead, we say things and do things that are socially acceptable. And we say things that are politically correct rather than what's true. Write this down. This is a wonderful saying. I'm going to put this on my tweet account, Twitter, whatever you call it. Integrity is more important than popularity. Integrity is more important than popularity. I want that to be your prayer this week. 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, you may brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval. It's only what God thinks that matters. And when we come to that, I think those masks will be pulled off. They will melt away. Number five, the last thing on the back of your outline, is that people-pleasing silences my witness. It silences my ability to share the simple truth of Jesus Christ in my life. It silences my witness. Jesus had healed this guy over in John chapter 7, and the religious leaders heard about it. And they went around town and asking some folks, and they finally made it to this guy's parents. And they said, hey, we heard your son. What do you think about this guy, Jesus? We heard your son was healed by him. Instead of saying, oh, he was amazing, my son is healed, instead of saying he was God with skin on, they said, you'll have to ask our son. Because they were afraid of what the religious leaders would do to them or say to them. It silenced their witness. Look what they said in John 7. It said, no one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the leaders. You see, being politically correct was alive and well 2,000 years ago. It's not nothing new. John 12, 42, 43 says, many people, including leaders, believed in Jesus. But they wouldn't talk about it publicly out of their fear that the Pharisees will expel them from the synagogue. They loved human approval more than they loved the approval of God. You see, the desire to fit in is strong. But the desire to fit in keeps a lot of us quiet. I guess if I think about the question that I'd like for you to think about, maybe a face might come to your mind. Who around you would hear about Jesus if fear wasn't an issue? Who around you? If fear wasn't an issue. I want you to think about these traps this week. These five traps, and I want to know if you're in any of them. Next week, I want to teach you by Scripture of how to break free. I'm an expert on these traps. I've been caught in every one of them. You see, by nature, I'm a people pleaser. It's hindered my growth. But the Scripture told me how to break free. And I want to tell you how to do that next week. And you know what? If you're not afraid, invite someone. And if you got a lot of courage, put some mayonnaise on your French fries. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the examples of courage. It keeps us going. Lord, there's a lot of my folks here at church that are trapped in this people-pleasing snare. And they're not living to the full potential that you've given them. They're missing out on so much. They're doing things that they really don't want to do, but they do it just to fit in. Lord, I pray for the kids here at North Point and all the kids really at the high school, but Lord, these kids hear me. I pray that they be examples. That they don't, like you told us in the book of Exodus, that they don't just go along with the crowd to do wrong just to fit in. We're called to be different. Different for you. Lord, this fear of rejection is strong. It's hard to get over. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. But you say it doesn't matter because everyone's doing it. We're the first to seek your opinion. And your ways are not our ways. Help us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.